Welcome to the Lost Dot Podcast and the 10th edition of the Transcontinental Race, supported by our race partners, Farah Cycling, Pedaled, Apadura, Komoot, and Peak Design. Day 11 at TCO number 10, and today more riders are expected to arrive at the finish line. Dots continue to creep further and further across Europe, into Turkey, and through the fourth parcours, before making their way towards Istanbul. We start today's episode with an arrival from last night, when Lucas Stripmatter, Cap 197, became the eighth rider to complete this year's Transcontinental Race.
When you just looked at your stamps,
yeah,
how did that make you feel, knowing that you've got all of them?
Well, actually, that's the first time I looked at the stamps, so... Yeah, feeling kind of proud of myself that I have all the stamps and just finished the TCR. So, yeah, but I think I have to just settle it for the moment, and I think after a few days there will be the...
Did you have a goal? Were you kind of looking forward to finishing?
Yeah, actually I wanted to finish in top five.
Yeah.
But I'm still glad that I finished in 8th spot, I think.
Yeah. When did you come to realise position 5 wasn't going to happen for you?
I think after the ferry. We four were still together, and then I was hoping to keep up with them, but because of the headwind, it really demotivated me, so... And yeah, I couldn't hold on to their wheels.
Still but a sensational ride though. You've got a lot to be proud of.
Yeah.
And you finished in 10 days, 1 hour and 22 minutes. So there you go, man.
Thank you.
Fantastic ride.
Lucas and winner of TCO number 10, Robin Gimperla, are family friends.
But Robin, you guys are obviously friends. How does it feel like to have a friend arrive in the top 10?
I was expecting that, so it's not special. No, it's really, really cool. I was not expecting it, but I was thinking that if he rides well, if he does a, if he prepares well, does a proper effort, then top 10 will definitely be possible. And what I also like is that I can feel a bit of that racing spirit that I would say I also brought a bit to the. No, like this sounds a bit exaggerated, but I would say I'm definitely, I've always been one of the guys who said very clearly, hey, we're racing, we have goals and we want to achieve them. And I really love that he somehow copied that and just did that as well and comes here and says, I wanted to do top 5 and didn't do it, so.
Did you give him lots of advice?
No, not really, no. I think he was very, very... aware of the fact that he could ask me, but I feel like he always wanted to do his own thing, which I also understand. I think lots of these ultra racers have a bit of that gene in them that they're not so good in knowing when to ask questions and when not. So maybe that would be an advice to ask for advice in order to achieve top 5 next time.
At nearly midnight, Florian Moreau also rolled in to finish TCO number 10 in 9th position.
It's easy for the finish. The guys, it's too far or too far in front on back.
So you can relax.
Yeah, so it's just easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let me get your brevet card. Let's get your race finished.
Yeah.
Let's get you signed in. 10 days, 3 hours and 50 minutes.
Yeah. It's more 10 days. It's okay.
It's a little bit more than okay.
Yeah.
Are you happy with your performance?
Yes and not. I don't have really good feeling, so I take my time and I sleep a lot, more as usual for me, but it's okay.
Morning on day 11, and like at every TCR, those riders who have completed their adventure are relaxing and waiting for the finisher's party in a few days' time. Emma Cole, race reporter, catches up with fourth-placed Abdullah Zainab and asks him about the effect the race has had on, well, on his toenails.
Talk to me about your toenails.
Which one? They've all got an individual story.
The ones on your left
I lost that one a few years ago. They're not very cosmetically pleasing, hey?
They're quite an interesting colour.
That one has been bothering me the whole race.
And the big toe.
I haven't looked at it, but I think it's dead for sure.
It's a dark purple, would we say?
Yeah, it's dead. I'm just waiting to peel it off or waiting for it to fall off.
Does that usually happen after an ultra race?
I think so, yeah. When I first did my first ones, it just they kind of just died to a certain point. It would never grow past that. But that one, I think, is for sure, I've lost him.
And is that because your shoes?
Like, I think it's just so much pressure. So much pressure. I don't know. I just think I have really funny feet. Maybe someone else can share their foot stories. I don't know. But I always have pain in my feet. Yeah, I have really fat and long, wide feet. So it's not really ideal. But yeah, that was bothering me. Because every time I put press, I'd be like, oh, I just felt like, you know when you stub a toe or something and it feels like it's going to explode? It was that feeling for a long time, so.
So you're happy to be in flip-flops? They're out, they're liberated.
I was gonna get some to ride. Yeah, that's if my race went really well. I was gonna finish in flip-flops, but unfortunately, yeah, it didn't line that way, so, yeah.
Mika Kainu, Cap 43, arrived at the finish overnight after a fantastic ride to complete the top 10 at this year's Transcontinental Race. Then, at roughly 9:30 this morning, he was followed into Istanbul by Pavel Palaski, cap number 8.
How good?
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
What an awesome ride.
Yes, it was fantastic. It was pretty cool.
You seem quite fresh.
I only seem. Actually, it's a tough day. But thank you. Yeah, having 10 days on a bike is always good.
Yeah.
So it's a privilege.
Yeah.
Whatever it would be, it's fantastic. And it's, I don't know the English name for this, but it's all gluey and sticky,
yeah,
and you know,
kind of stuff.
They put it before they put the tarmac, yeah?
Yeah.
So I went on it, there's no way to turning back, yeah? Okay, so I'm riding, it's like 5Ks of that, and everything is gluing into me.
Oh my gosh.
Look, on my face, on my bike, on my gears, everything. Yeah, everything is black. And it's climb, and I'm climbing, and it was just before sunrise. And the mountains are in the front, and I'm climbing up, the sun is coming up, yeah? And suddenly the tarmac appears.
Oh.
It's like, moment of life. Yeah?
That is beautiful. Yeah?
I was like, oh my God. Yeah, that was funny moment.
Here's your brevet card. 10 days,
you.
13 hours and 28 minutes.
Yeah. Let's put it in the books and forget it.
While Istanbul begins to fill up with finishers, our team in Control Car 2 are out on the road to catch up with those riders pushing hard to join them as soon as possible. Augustine and Louison Muller, caps 313 A and B, are currently second fastest in the pairs category at TCR number 10.
How are you getting on?
I'm better than him because we had a crash tonight with a dog.
Yeah. Early morning, a dog just went in my front wheel, so I had a bad crash. It broke my, I don't know how it's called.
Extension.
Yeah, and I this part of my hand is, and then my, I'm not in a comfortable situation on my bike now, so I have to adapt a little bit, but it's the craziest race we've ever done, especially because it's the first one for me. But
So this is not only your first race, but your first race as a pair?
First race as a pair, yes. Yeah.
How does being brothers affect your relationship when you're going through hard times on the bike? I have brothers myself, uh-huh. and I know how great the relationship can be, but also how tense it can be, how you can get back to those sibling squabbles sometimes.
Well, finally, we didn't have any hot moments during this race, and that's
pretty cool. We talk about one of the most points we could have been in a kind of disagreement is the sleeping strategy, and it's very complicated to decide about the sleeping strategy when you're tired. So finally we decided to have a kind of regular rhythm. We called it the turtle rhythm, and it's we have a very slow average speed, but we have very short breaks. Before we stop, we say, okay, you do this, I do this, you take the bar, I take the drink, and then we go on the back, and so everything is quite prepared before the breaks. And when we decide to sleep, it's 4 hours from backstop to back start, and not 1 minute more. And as we know that now, I mean, the sleeping strategy is not a problem anymore. So when this point is not a problem anymore, everything is okay.
Nicholas Huls, Cap 250, has Istanbul in his sights and is reflecting on this year's ride compared to last year's.
Last year I was constantly tossing and turning whether it was like a holiday or whether it was a race. So I was having kind of like an internal debate within myself. So this year, probably taking it a bit more seriously. But as with all of these things, I think you just take it as it comes. And realistically, you only race the road ahead of you. And it, from my perspective, you only really race yourself.
So we're just on some lovely Strada Bianca style white roads just outside of Bandirma. We saw that Julian Klos had headed this way and then backtracked in what looked like public transport to get back to town, and we assumed that maybe he was having mechanical problems, and then we saw on his Instagram that he'd destroyed his rear mech hanger essentially and was needing to try and fix it, and it looked for a while like he was thinking about DNFing or scratching, and then we saw that he'd come up with a fix for it, so we headed out here to find him, and we found him pushing his bike in single speed mode up this gravel climb.
The first delivery hanger was broken already in Croatia. I had a crash on a gully cover. Like, if you have a hole on the street for water, and there was a big step between the road and the metal from the plate. And then I crashed there. And the first delivery hanger was broken in Croatia, and now in the morning, today here in 400 kilometers in front of the finish, the second delivery hanger was broken. And I managed to go back by a car and by bus to the last town. I can't remember the name.
Bandirma.
Bandirma.
If that's right. How it's pronounced.
And there I found a bike mechanic, and then it was really funny. So the bike mechanic looked at the delivery hanger and decided, we can weld the delivery hanger. So he sent me with a taxi to another workshop for welding parts. So I was there, and then they said to me, oh no, aluminium, we cannot weld. I moved back, and then we decided together that we try to go on single speed with the old delivery hanger, which are almost broken in Croatia already. So I bended it, and there was a crack in the delivery hanger, and now it is still working in single speed, because also my front
shifter is broken.
I don't know why this happens now. Maybe because of the bus transport.
Earlier in the race, Victor Bassoni won great admiration by riding a cool 550 kilometers reverse round trip to retrieve his passport, which he'd left at a gas station. Since then, he's been slowly moving back up the field and showing once again why he's one to watch in future editions of TCR.
Yeah, I learned a lot in this TCR, and I will come back home with a huge suitcase of experience, so yeah.
I'm guessing you're gonna have to come back another year to see how you can do.
yeah, for sure.
And what's, I guess your aim mostly now is just to finish, but we can see that you're probably pushing for a top 30 position now. Yeah. How does that feel? Like when you look back to how you were feeling when you were having to go back for your passport, did you think you'd be back in this position?
The CG, I don't look about the GC. I just want to have my own adventure. Yeah, it's I don't care about this GC, but I want to go to the finish line faster than possible. And tonight I don't know if I sleep. I think I will not sleep because tonight there is not wind, and it was easier.
And you say that your main goal now is just having the adventure. What's been the highlight of your adventure so far?
My highlight was in Montenegro, because it was so hard but so beautiful. It was magic. It is my highlight. Yeah.
Jamie Wilson, cap number 4, has been the second fastest woman at TCR10 for almost the entire race. After technical issues on days 1 and 2, she's been chasing Jana Kessenheimer, cap number 10, ever since.
Yeah, just wondering what you're racing for, whether you've been looking at where Jana is.
I was until about 3 days ago, and then I made an effort once. I was about 6 or 7 hours behind to be like, right, I'm gonna try and see if I can catch her, and then I just stayed the same for 2 days, and then she just went after that. So yeah, that I guess just nah. I'm kind of over it now. If I can't catch her, and I don't want anything to happen to her. Like I don't want to win because she has one of these.
Yeah.
Like it's pointing that she's been winning the whole race, so she deserves to win. So I guess just holding my place and finishing tomorrow is my aim now.
And are you happy with how your ride's comparing to last year?
Yeah. It's been pretty good. I think I'm not very good on the planning. I wasn't very good last year. I didn't learn any lessons from last year. So, well, I did learn the lessons, but I didn't implement any action plan into it. But sometimes I quite like being a little bit like, whatever happens, happens. So.
The final stages of any ultra are enough to test anyone. It takes everything you have to keep turning the pedals when body and mind are telling you otherwise. Mark Kowalski, cap 243.
Yeah, all right. How about you?
A bit lost. A bit second-guessing myself.
Mentally or physically lost?
Mentally and physically. It's been a tough day. Parkour was... It was lovely. The trees were lovely because they blocked the sun and the wind, and then the trees disappeared and the wind came out in force, and it's just been hard going since, and just haven't really made any progress. And now I'm worried about Bursa and the traffic there and how I'm going to avoid that, and I just really want to go to bed right now, but that wouldn't really be conducive to trying to get through Bursa before the traffic comes tomorrow morning, so...
What does it feel like coming into Turkey and I guess mentally feeling like you must almost be finished but still having a fair way to go?
It's really annoying because all your friends and family send you messages congratulating you on well done, and you're like, nope, still gonna go. Same thing happened last year with Thessaloniki. They're like, he's so close to Thessaloniki. My girlfriend had to like cut in and be like, nope, no he's not, he's gotta go on the final parkour. And everyone's like, oh. Yeah, but keep the spirit alive, keep cheering me on, please.
Pavel Polowski has spent the day resting and enjoying his achievement at completing TCR number 10. Race reporter Emma caught him in reflective mood, pondering on the same things many ultra racers ponder on once the journey comes to a close. That sense of something precious ending, of the inevitable return to reality.
You okay? I can see you wistfully looking into the distance.
Sorry?
I can see you wistfully looking into the distance.
Yeah.
What,
no,
think?
I was just thinking about some things.
What were you thinking about?
About... you know, what now?
What, as in?
Like, yeah, it's good escape. It's good escape.
As in escape from daily life? And now you're back in it, or?
No, not yet, but yeah, yeah, kind of a, yeah, it's amazing how, you know, you go into, after the third, fourth day, I just received a message from my business partner. He never wrote any message during the race at all, but now he sent me a message, congrats man, everything is fine here, don't you worry at all, I'll see you back soon. And you know, that makes you think how I actually wasn't thinking about, totally forgot that I have a, let's say, business to run.
Does it feel like you've been in a bit of a bubble and that bubble is slowly being popped?
Yes, that's interesting. Maybe it's more like you're outside the. I mean, you're more outside the bubble and everything. What's actually in normal life is inside. The simple steps that we have to do: eat, sleep, ride, repeat, and that. Yes, this is what we do, and this is how this is simple. But it's like. In normal, like usual day, I wouldn't not care that much about what's happening around me. But during the race, I seriously don't care at all. The most important is only me and that I will have my drink.
Do you think we should all be a bit more carefree in that respect?
I think so. Yeah, I like this state. That we can sit next to each other and, you know, we don't worry that this guy is looking how he's looking and, you know, this one is dirty, this one is smelly and this one is super nicely, you know, dressed
this
up.
This one's got funny tan lines.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because in daily life, you feel that, yeah? It's obvious. You go and you see people and then they judge you, they judge themselves, each other. And some people, probably in daily life, I would worry. But actually, thanks to the races I did, they made me more resilient for that,
yeah.
For sure.
Before the day is out, there is time for two more arrivals at the finish line in Istanbul. First, Adrian Lichti, cap number 7, who's used all his experience to ride a brilliant race. And now, Jana Kessenheimer, who is making her way along the final parkour and is about to become the fastest woman to complete this year's transcontinental race. She will also take 13th place overall to become the fourth woman to achieve a top 20 position. Emma and race director David Eyre are waiting for her.
David, the first woman is about to arrive. How do you feel?
Really excited to see Jana in a few moments' time. She's ridden an incredible race, really tenacious, really persistent, has worked her way up through the top 20 over the course of the past few days as well, so looks set to finish 13th overall. Only the fourth woman ever to finish in the top 20 at TCR, and it couldn't happen to a nicer person as well. Like, whenever anyone has spoken to her, whether it's the media team or one of the volunteers, she's always had a smile on her face. She's been really cheerful, like really engaging. So yeah, really pleased for her on both like an athletic and a personal level. Congratulations, Jana.
Thank you. Really happy to be here. You're amazing. You smiled the whole way through. How have you managed to do that?
I don't know. I just, like, I feel like I can do this tomorrow again. I just need some sleep, maybe.
So you're going to go head back to Roubaix? Like, what's no.
Pretty happy we did this way, because I think now Gerardsbergen, the Mur, it would not be possible.
Yeah. You've just ridden an incredible race. Like, watching you just fly across that continent was really inspiring. It was great.
I was a bit impressed, like, how I would say positively surprised, also because I did other races before and something always started to hurt, like
right.
For example, like, I could not sit anymore, or my hands or my feet or whatever,
yeah.
But this time, like, my body just did its job, so it was much easier to enjoy also. When,
oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, I suppose that's like the culmination of all of that effort and experience, like, in the best possible
maybe,
way.
I don't know, my body just remembers.
Yeah.
Okay, we have to do this now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was amazing. You made it look easy. You're just having such a good time.
Yeah, it was cool. It was really nice.
As Jana begins the process of enjoying a well-earned rest, two local cyclists, Sinem and Handa, give her some clothes as a welcome gift. Race reporter Emma spoke to them.
So have you guys been watching Jana? Have you been watching her dogs?
Yeah. We are, and since the beginning, we are here first day when Robin also arrived.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we congratulate all the first coming participants from women's side and men's side. Yeah,
that's awesome. How does it make you feel? The first woman has arrived, 13th overall, and she's absolutely smashed it.
Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah. I couldn't even imagine how she can do it. I'm really proud of her as a woman cyclist. If you want to add something.
As I said to her, she gave us a lot of inspiration to us.
Yeah.
To maybe we can do it. I don't know, maybe in the future
we can even give it a try.
She gave the idea to us, so that's very important.
Yeah.
Another incredible day at TCR No. 10 comes to an end, with all eyes now turned to the pairs category. Sherry Cardona and Gary Ontiveros have been the fastest pair since day one, so join us tomorrow to see if they can conquer the challenge of the final parkour and reach the finish line to defend their pairs crown. And of course, we'll bring you more individual stories from the road. As always, you can read Emma's daily race reports from the road on the Lost website and get regular updates across all our social media channels. Thanks to our race partners, Farah Cycling, Pedaled, Apadura, Komoot, and Peak Design.